This is Shi'ar Jashub, coming from Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and in today's program, we will pick up where we left off last time, in the first sermon of my husband's new Bible study series entitled Paul's Message to Agrippa. Pastor has been presenting the background of this important sermon delivered by the apostle and recorded in Acts chapters 25 and 26. Paul is brought by the governor Festus before King Agrippa and his sister Bernice, because Paul has appealed his case to Caesar, and Festus needs help in what he should then write to Caesar. Pastor Greg then proceeded to provide the family history of this King Herod Agrippa II and the relationship between the different Herods recorded in the New Testament. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg.
Herod Antipas is the one that we know when Jesus is an adult. He's the one that has John the Baptist beheaded. He's the one that takes Herodias as his wife from his brother Philip, Herod Philip I. He's the one that during the trials, you know, Pilate ships Jesus off, trying to wash his hands of it, and then he comes back. That's Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas is another son of Herod the Great. So Herod the Great, Herod Antipas is one son. There's another son of Herod whose son is Agrippa the First. So Agrippa the First is the nephew of Herod Antipas. He's a grandson of Herod the Great, and he's a nephew of Herod Antipas, who has Herodias, and Herodias has the child Salome, who we'll talk about in a few minutes. Herod Agrippa the First, the grandson, the father of this Agrippa, and the grandson of Herod the Great, and the nephew of Herod Antipas, became king of Judea. He actually gets a lot of power. From AD 37, so this is after the crucifixion, right, to AD 44, he rules Palestine. So you're after the governorship of Pilate, and he replaces Herod Antipas, his uncle, and he gets more power than his uncle. He becomes king of Judea. Herod Antipas was like a tetrarch of Galilee. That's why when Pilate says, oh, he's from Galilee, send them over to Herod, because Herod Antipas is really just ruling Galilee. This Herod Agrippa I becomes king of Judea, and he's got a lot of power. And the book of Acts talks about him. Let's go back to Acts chapter 12. Again, this is the father of the man that Paul is going to give the message to. In Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. So he persecutes the Christians, the Jewish Christians. Then he killed James. So he's the one that kills the apostle James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, hey, it pleased them that he killed James, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when they had arrested him and put him in prison and delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover, and that's when Peter is freed from prison by the angel. Okay, so this Agrippa Paul's addressing, his daddy, Agrippa the First, is the one that starts this persecution on the church where James the apostle is killed. And when he sees that the Jews like that, well, then he goes after Peter and he throws Peter in prison. Okay. Now look at verse 20, Acts chapter 12, verse 20. And again, you see the politician. Now Herod, this is Herod Agrippa the First, had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. This also shows you, by the way, the contemporaneous nature of the book of Luke, right? Because if somebody was writing this 100 years later, they wouldn't just say Herod. They would make sure they let you know all the relationships. In other words, The people in Luke's time knew all these Herods. They had to hear about them. Like, you know, all the politicians today, you hear about them on the news all the time. They knew one Herod from another. They knew Herod the Great from Herod Antipas, from Herodias, from Herod Agrippa. And they knew when they said Herod, which became a title, like Pharaoh became a title. Like we say president, because the man's name became great, every one of his children wanted to use the name Herod before their name. They knew who was being referred to because they lived in that time period. They knew it couldn't be Herod Antipas because they know around this time it's Herod Agrippa. It shows you the contemporaneous, the at-the-time proof of the writings of Luke, because certainly a writer later on would have started to give you details that you knew who the characters were. But Luke is writing to people in his own time period. They knew. He didn't have to explain it to them. Now, Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. And you see how Israel was really not a desert at that point. It was made a desert over the centuries, but it was fruitful enough that it supplied the food for Tyre and Sidon. And so this political intrigue between Tyre and Sidon, Herod's mad at them. They appeal to one of his close attendants to make nice. So verse 21, so he has a victory. He's got Tyre and Sidon coming to him and wanting to have good relations with him. And the Jewish people must feel very good that this Herod of theirs, the king of Judea, is having such success politically. He can make a tour almost of the area and be treated nicely by all the people around. So on a set day, verse 21, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne. He must figure, I'm getting all the splendor back of my grandfather, Herod the Great. He sits on his throne and gave an oration to them. He speaks, and he speaks wonderfully. He's a good orator. He gave an oration to them, and the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man. Look how this man speaks. No one ever spoke like this man. All the nations like him. All the people like him, and he's in wonderful robes." And he gave an oration to them, and the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Now, these are Jews, right? Herod the Great, an Idumean, married Jewish, some of the women that were married were Jewish women, trying to get Jewish people in the lineage of the Herods so that they really could be, you know, kind of considered kings of Judea. And, you know, a Jew doesn't say, well, unless he's Messiah, you don't say the voice of a god and not a man. He was making himself kind of like a Messiah, right? And the people were treating him kind of like he's a Messiah. The Messiah just was crucified, you know, so many years before and resurrected. But they're not looking to Jesus. They're looking to Herod, the political leader, who's going to bring them salvation. And the voice of a god and not a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. God was giving them a decent situation there with Tyre and Sidon. And he was eaten by worms and died. And the word of God grew and multiplied. The Christians did well because of this. Why? Because this was the guy that was persecuting the Christians. For political reasons, to find favor, it gave him good place with the Jews that didn't want to believe. For political reasons, he's persecuting the church. He sets himself up in place of Christ, right? He thinks his political abilities and his great speech abilities are going to influence the people, and they do. They get influenced. The voice of a god and not a man, but God is still God. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. And so you got a lot of those people must have said, well, this guy's not as good as we thought he was. And the word of God multiplied. The Christians then who were persecuted had some relief. Our age is so much like this, you know, how they're looking for someone to listen to. They don't want Christ. They don't want Jesus. but somebody else. Give me somebody else that'll talk well, that'll handle all the political situations, that'll solve all the problems, that puts on the robes, that sets himself up. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a Herod Agrippa the First? But it's empty because the man is empty. The man is not. So when you worship that which is not, you have nothing. When you worship him who is, you have everything. That's our society today, looking for anyone but the real Christ to follow and then to lift up. It's not enough they don't want to follow Jesus. They're longing. They're hungering to follow somebody else. And I think we had a lot of preludes to the Antichrist as the country goes that way, as the generation goes that way, as the world goes that way. You can see how the Antichrist, who Herod Agrippa the First is a type of, can come in. It says in Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. When we trust in human, we trust in our own ability, we trust in other people's ability. When we come to the end of ourselves, we should seek God. But too many people, when they come to the end of themselves, they seek another man, they seek human flesh. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. When good finally comes, he's not going to see it. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited. There's not going to be the blessing. There's not going to be the bounty. And certainly there's not going to be the water of life, the eternal kingdom, the new Jerusalem, the great garden. Instead, they're going to be a desert. They're going to receive a desert. When good comes, they don't inhabit the good. They inhabit the parched places in the wilderness.
You can rehear this program and listen to hundreds of other Bible study radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. We are also building quite a library of video teachings from our Sunday service live streams on YouTube. The Sunday sermon is live streamed at 10:30 a.m. and then posted on YouTube, rumble.com, and on the church website itself for you to access at any time, day or night. Serious times require serious Bible study, and we appreciate any donation you make to keep this important scripture teaching ministry on WFIF. And to this cause, we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer. This is offer 102, and you will find a link to a secure page where you can make the donation on the church website. Again, it is offer 102, and the website is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.